Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good evening. You know, not just questions, what we really would like, I don't think any of you were here back then, but what we used to do when we were back in the other building, on Wednesday nights sometimes we'd say, come up and share what you learned tonight. People would line up. I learned this. I learned that. It was really encouraging. So it doesn't have to be questions. It can even be, man, I picked something up tonight. God spoke to me tonight, on and on and on. So, okay. So what I'm a waiter tonight, and I'm serving up to you the stuff in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you want to receive it? Let's pray this right here. Father God, guide and lead us through this study. Without your power, we can do absolutely nothing. Don't let us ever take your power for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. I just got off Facebook today, and my Facebook is crazy. Spent a lot of time on it. And three questions come up. Somebody said, I felt really sorry. This lady in our church lost two little twins in the womb, and she talked about cremation. Is it okay, Pastor Ron? I hear that a lot. And, you know, cremation's okay. I mean, cremation is just going to cause the decomposition that's going to happen to your body anyway, just happen faster. You understand? Your body, once your spirit leaves, it's done, okay? It's not anything. It's just an earth suit. So it doesn't matter if you, because I know, you know, a lot of, in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, a lot of saints were burned at the stake, a lot of them were. And so cremation just causes the decomposition to happen quicker. It's going to happen anyway. And somebody asked about Halloween. Every time this year, Halloween, I want to take my kids to a church carnival, harvest carnival, and my friends are Christians, and they're really convicting me, and they're making me feel guilty. Tell your friends to grow up, okay? I mean, here's the thing. If that's your conviction, then praise God, you keep it, but don't you push it on anybody else. You say, but you know about the meaning of Halloween. Hey, if you're going to do that, I'll play the game with you. You can't do birthday parties anymore. I'll give you a bunch of stuff that you can't do. I'll nail you. Don't argue that with me. I'll tell you five things you can't do any longer. But the God I serve, he doesn't really give a hoot about if you go to a Halloween fair at a church or whatever. He has a lot bigger issues than that. A lot bigger. And so, you know, obviously we don't want to do the devil stuff, and we're not observing the pagan Halloween. We're taking something maybe the devil started in the beginning, and we're just making something good about it. And if somebody has a problem with it, just change it to Friday night. What would they say if you said, I want to have friends over at the house on Friday night, and we're going to play games in the backyard, eat a lot of candy? They'd say, okay, that's okay. If you do it on Thursday night, oh, that's wrong. Just switch nights on them and see how confused they are. And I'm sure these great Christian people that are complaining about it, I'm sure they're at home handing Bibles out, the people knock on their door, they're giving them tracts. That's what they should be doing. You got it. And then the third question they asked today was demons and deliverance. A lot of people say, hey, can you deliver my loved one? I know they got demons, I know they got spirits. The Bible says if you're not fully committed to God, even if we do it, those demons will get more buddies and come back, and it'll be about seven times worse. You don't deliver somebody who doesn't want Jesus with all their heart. So one of those three questions I just answered on Facebook has nothing to do with our study tonight. It's on my mind. 1 Corinthians 3, you ready? If you have your Bible, you can mark it up. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh and infants in Christ. Now let's look at some definitions here. Look at the definition for spiritual man. Pneumaticus, and it means non-carnal, pertaining to or proceeding from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual people are people who believe in the wind. Pneuma in the Greek means wind. It's the same word for in the Old Testament, ruach. We talk about it. Ruach is wind. Pneuma is wind. It's a current of air. It's the motion of a breeze. When we say the Holy Spirit, what the Hebrews hear is holy ruach, holy pneuma, holy. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And so here it says the spiritual people are those who believe in the blowing of the Spirit. How many of you believe in that? The blowing of the Spirit. Have you ever had the Spirit blow on you? See, I love ministering to spiritual people because those people know how the Spirit works. Like Paul, when he was called to the guy in Macedonia to take the gospel there, we're told that he tried to go into one area and the Holy Spirit didn't let him. And I just tried. See, Paul was sensitive, going, what's that? Something isn't working here. So he tries to go over here, and I don't know what started happening. Things started happening, and Paul goes, man, this is too much work. Then he goes to bed that night, and he gets a vision of a man of Macedonia saying, come and help us. We need help. And Paul does, duh, I've got it. And he said in that text, we concluded that God was calling us there because he walked with the wind. Jesus, in the book of John, he's going to Galilee, and I don't know what route he tried to take, but he probably the wind. Because see, Jesus operated by the Holy Spirit too. You notice he did no miracles until the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Didn't do any. The day of Pentecost, God told the people of God, don't do anything till you get the Holy Spirit. You stay in Jerusalem, stay in that upper room. What does that tell us? You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Why are you trying? Why are you trying to figure things out yourself when God made it plain to us? You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Don't even try. Don't even try. And so Jesus, I don't know what he was doing. He tried to go this way. Finally, he goes, man. And he started going towards Samaria, and the wind just started taking him. And he goes, oh, we've got to go through Samaria. We have to. And you see the story play out. See, I told you that ruach is the wind. If you go out there tonight and try to run against the wind, you'll get tired, you'll get worn out, you'll say, man, this is hard. When you run with the wind, it's easy, and you know it. Football players, we watch NFL on Sunday, if they're kicking into the wind, that's really tough. But when they're kicking with the wind, man, that might be a 60, 65-yard field goal. And so that's what it means. People ask me all the time, why are you still involved in Las Vegas? Why? Because the wind just blows me there a Sunday or two a month. Have you ever driven that drive to Las Vegas? Isn't that a beautiful drive? Yeah, it's terrible. 4.5 hours in the car. Most people say, I don't know how you did this, because when I pioneered that church before I handed over to Pastor Jim, I went once and twice a week for a year or two. I don't know how you did it. I couldn't do it. No, you couldn't do it. But I did it because the Holy Spirit had called me, and I was going with the wind. And it was easy. And I still go with the wind. When you're called and anointed to do something, you know, tonight I came here because I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me here. Pastor Jim wrote and said, hey, man, the fire's down here. The freeways are all a mess. Can I trade with Shane or somebody? And I looked at that, and I go, no, I think it's supposed to be me. I went and opened my Bible, and I just thumbed through a few pages, and like God jumped out and said, 1 Corinthians 3, share it with them. And it was just so easy to do. Now, we're spiritual. We've learned to feel the wind blowing. You go, wait a minute. You're trying to do something, and you're trying to do it, and you're dreading it, and everything doesn't work right. And finally you go, hey, wait a minute. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm walking into the wind. Something's wrong here. And so then it goes on and says they were not spiritual, but they were men of flesh and babes in Christ. Look at the Greek for men of flesh. It means, depicts those who only see life in one dimension, physical, material dimension. These people don't see life except on one plane. Your Christian friends who are carnal and they're of the flesh, they just see the world the way everybody else sees the world. They don't see on another plane. They see life only on one level. Well, that's what the doctor said. That's fine what the doctor said. Usually, a lot of times, he's right. But what did Jesus say? I told you before, and I'll say it again. If I had done everything the doctors have told me to do the last 40 years, I would not be alive tonight. I'm convinced. But everything the doctor says, I go talk to Dr. Jesus. And a lot of times he confirms what they say, and sometimes he doesn't. Well, that's what the attorney says. Well, you know, that's only what makes sense. Can I give you a little hint tonight? The Holy Spirit doesn't always make sense. Have you got that yet? He says stuff sometimes that makes no sense whatsoever. And then last says they're babes in Christ. Let's look up that. That means unlearned, unenlightened, implying censure. What's censure? It's disapproval. Censure is reprimand. In other words, I think what this describes here, a babe in Christ, somebody that is unlearned, they're unenlightened, and so they knock everybody who is enlightened. That Valley Bible, you Pastor Ron hears God all the time. Oh, you baby in Christ, maybe you need to grow up. You're censuring me, and you don't know maybe what we know over here. It's crazy how we got people all around us tonight that they know the Bible really well, and they've learned it really well, and they think they're superior because they have knowledge. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? If you have knowledge, you don't have love. You're just giving everybody a headache. That's what he said. I'm telling you. Remember this verse? We covered this a few weeks ago. 2 Timothy 3. People who hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Now let's stop. If you look up power in Strong's and some of these Greek concordances and dictionaries, power is the word dunamis, dynamite, and the very first phrase that some of them use is miraculous power. So those who hold to a form of godliness, but they deny the miracle power, avoid such men as these. So when you go to try a new church out, first thing you ask the pastor is you say, hey, what do you believe about miracles? And if he goes, well, yeah, son, you know what? Let's make an appointment. Have you ever watched Judge Judy? That's either a no or yes answer is what that is. Yes or no. She nails that. That lady's mean. Why would anybody go on that show? Even if you're going to win the case, she'll make you a fool out of you before she lets you win. Shut up. I didn't talk to you. Put your hand down. Don't you smirk. You smirk, you get out of my courtroom. Wow, do they make them any meaner than that? And I go, you asked for it when you went on our show, dude. I'd really just pay the people the money if I had to go on that show. But when people say, well, you know, he says, no, that's a yes or no answer. Is it yes or no? Do you believe in miracles? Well, you know, no, it's either a yes or no answer, sir. Yes, you do, or no, you don't. And if they say no, check them off. So go look for another church. That's what it says. Scripture says that. I don't say that. Scripture says that. Look at verse 2 and 3. I gave you milk to drink. Okay, milk's easy to digest. It's just easy. Doesn't take any effort at all. I didn't give you solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not yet able. For you're still what? What does it say there? Do you know what? Have you ever known that it's fleshly? For since there's still jealousy and strife and anger among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like everybody else around you? Oh, this is interesting. See, what he's saying here, the fact that you people in the church are being emotionally driven instead of obedience driven proves to me you're immature. See, a while back, what did we learn here? On this stage a few months ago, where we learned that it says in 1 John that God is stronger than our emotions. See, if these people who were immature, if they were abiding in the Lord and they knew spiritually what we know, that God is stronger than the emotions, they wouldn't have been jealous. They wouldn't have been ongoing filled with strife. Why? Because they would have been spending time with God, and God would have overridden those emotions. The very fact they had the emotions, he says, it proves you're not spiritual. I don't know about you. I know some of you, maybe younger Christians, but there's no way I can hold unforgiveness against somebody, not over a period of time. I might be able to do it for a few nights or a week or two, But the Holy Spirit wears me down. I have to forgive them. Strife. I had to call somebody this week. There's a good somebody I love and a family member, and I said, you know what? I know you're angry with me, but it's been long enough. Let's get her taken care of, okay? Let's be friends again. And it happened. Jealousy, strife. If you're going with the wind, it's just too hard to do that if you're used to living with the wind. When you're trying to hang on to unforgiveness and strife and the stuff these people are hanging on to, it just gets too tiring. The wind just wears you out. So many Christians are not walking with the wind. They're not walking with the peace and the joy. It's nothing real hard to prove. Let's look at verse 4. We're going to try to get through quite a few verses. We have 20 more minutes, so let's see what we can do. For when someone says, I'm Paul, and another says, I'm Apollos, again, doesn't that prove you're just mere men? I can't say that. I don't care who gets this pulpit. I hear God through them. Pastor Jim gets up. Wow. Josh gets up. Shane gets up. Doug or Vicky gets up. The wind blows through all of them. That's not to say that I might not get a little bit more from one person than the other because of their personality, but I receive something from all of them. When someone says, well, you know what? I just don't get anything out of them at all. I don't see that as a commentary on the speaker. I see that as a commentary on you. That's your problem. Because I know everybody else is getting fed, and if you're not, you got a problem. You should be able to be fed by anybody up here because we only choose holy people up here. I'll tell you what, no one's going to get in this pulpit if I or anybody else has even an inkling that they're not living right. They better be living right. And I can vouch for every man up here. I'm close to them, and I know, and every woman, I know they're walking right. Now, let's look at verse number 5. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? They're servants through whom you believed. In other words, they were conduits through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one of them to be up there. Servants in the Greek, it's an interesting word. It's where we get the word for deacon. Let's put it up. It means table server or waiter. You go to the pizza kitchen tonight, the waiter's going to come out, and he's going to say, well, I went back to the cook, and I found out here's what we're serving tonight. You want to look at it, and you want to receive some of it? Because here's what we're serving. Now, tonight I can come out and say, here's what we're serving tonight. We're serving up 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you like to receive it? Or you just want to look at the menu and go home? I think you'd like to receive some of it. See, we can only get what we get. We can only give out what we get from God. I mean, tonight, I sit down and look at this chapter, and I haven't taught it for a while, but man, in 20 minutes, I had all these thoughts. They just rolled out, which again confirms it was God. God talks to you through whoever is in this pulpit. Now, let's look at verse 6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. See, you got to understand who's in charge here. God's in charge. If you could see the inner workings of this church, we are not guiding this church. He is. There is no doubt that God isn't the one building this church. No matter what we go through, we just go to him and say, what do you want to do with your church? If you come in the office tomorrow and say, I want to see the head of the church right now, well, then we'd send you to the altar in here because there is nobody else. He's the head. We're his foremen and everything, but he's the head of the church. And so, lo and behold, it says here that God is the one causing the growth. God's the one that caused me to turn to 1 Corinthians 3. God's the one who put the desire in my heart to teach 1 Corinthians 3. God is the one who gave me the notes to write down that I wrote down here. And God has to open your heart to receive what you need to receive. He's got to do all that. I just plant the seeds. See, some things I say tonight, you won't be able to get out of your heart. You won't be able to shake it. Because I'll plant a seed and God will cause the growth. Remember that story of Nikki Cruz? We ought to show the movie again. Nikki Cruz, how Dave Wilkerson was witnessing to him. And Dave Wilkerson said one line. He said, Nikki Cruz, God loves you. And Nikki said every night all he heard was, Nikki Cruz, God loves you. He'd try to roll over in his bed, put his pillow, Nikki Cruz, God loves you. And he would try to roll over. Nikki, that's all he could hear day and night. See, Dave Wilkerson just planted the seed and God made it grow. Years ago up on the ranch up there when I used to live up there, I was down at the store down here, and I saw a sack of wildflower seed. And I went up there and thought, I'm gonna plant it. So I took that stuff, kind of scratched up the ground, just threw it all over and just stepped back to wait to see what would happen. Came late spring, and there were these crazy-looking flowers everywhere. I just planted them is all I did. I love planting seeds in people's heart. I love messing with them. If I feel like God's saying something, just say, God's got your number, and he ain't gonna let you go. I just walk away and leave you because I know God will work with that. I mean, tonight, let's just do this. Father God, help me. God's saying to someone here tonight, you better not throw away that marriage. He is saying to someone here tonight, until you prayed and get my permission, you don't throw away that marriage. Ooh, I delivered. I'm going to go home and sleep well. You might not, but I am. I just delivered it. You say, how do you know? How do I know if that seed is from God? Oh, you'll know. You won't be able to. You won't be able to rest after I said that, because deep down inside, the Holy Spirit's saying it's true. Until I release you, until you get counsel, until you get prayer, you're not ready to do that yet. What if I said to someone here tonight, God has so much to give you, man. If you'll just get away from sin, God's been trying to get you to get away from sin. Are you going to wait until it's too late? God wants to give you all kinds of presents, but you're messing it up by staying in your sin. I'm going to go home and sleep well tonight. You might not. Another one. Oh, you'll love this one. I'm turning this way for some reason. Your spouse is right. You need to have another baby. Now I'm meddling, aren't I? See, I can do that. If it's not a God, it'll just go right over your head. But if it is, you'll go, oh my gosh. Plant seeds. Let God have it. Years ago, two people came here, and they were professionals. And one was a doctor, one was a lawyer. They were here. In the middle of my sermon, I stopped and said, you know what? Somebody here tonight is shacking up, and you're not supposed to be. A sweetheart, if he loved you, he'd put a ring on your finger, and if he doesn't, you need to pack up and go home. The guy told our pastors the next day, he said, oh my gosh, when he said that, I said, why did I come to this stupid church tonight? And I looked over at her, and I thought, oh, crapola. She's taking it in. He went home. You know what she did? When the bitterness started packing her bags, the Pastor Ron said, they both got right with God, and I think they got married. But it's fun. It's fun. I mean, I can't say it's not fun planting seeds. It's not fun when you receive them. But see, I'm the giver tonight. I have to receive them too. But tonight I'm on the giving end. It's kind of fun. Let's look at verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. They're working in cahoots. Each one will receive his own reward. Wait a minute. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. You mean we get paid for planting seeds? We get paid for planting seeds? That's what it says, huh? A lot of people have a real problem with that, but it's all over the New Testament, plastered. There weren't rewards for obedience. See, some of you are trying so hard to please God. It's not hard. Just plant the seeds. Get into the Word in the morning. Whatever He gives you, give it to somebody else and just leave it. Let God work with it. Your kids might get saved faster if you heard from the Lord and you went to them and said, you know what? God showed me you are going to get saved. It's just a matter of time, and I will pray. You can go easy or hard, buddy, but you're going to. I mean, that's planting seeds. You got to give God stuff to work with. He needs stuff to work with. You say, what's the difference between planting and watering? Well, you'll never know, but the person on the receiving end will know. If you're just planting a seed, it'll be like, wow, I've never thought of that. But if you're watering a seed, it's going to be like, oh my gosh, I've heard that 9 times. That day me and Debbie was traveling back to Manteca, I told you. We walked down this mall and this guy caught my attention. We go to the car, walked out there, and Debbie gets in the car and I go, is she getting in? I said, no. I said, you're going to have to be a few, I got to go back. And I went back to a guy and he was sitting outside of a mall and I said, sir, I walked by you a while ago, I'm a Christian. I was going to tell you what I feel God saying. You need to go back to church. He goes, oh my God, I've heard that like 7 times. Oh. I said, I'm just saying, I'm out of here. See, that's watering. That's not planting. Look at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now, this is very interesting. Look at the word field in this text. Here's the Greek word. It means cultivated land. Now, let me show you another verse, John 4:35. It says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they're white for harvest. Now, look at this Greek word. It's the empty expanse of a room. Now, I've taught this for years, but I'm giving you the proof tonight. There's two fields you're supposed to be working in, the empty field and the cultivated orchard. If you want to be a mature Christian pleasing in God's eyes, you will work out there and you'll work in here too. You'll work both places. What do you mean, Ron? Daily, we're working in the empty expanse, the field, the world. We're evangelizing and we're just aching for reasons to pray with people because I believe God inhabits the prayers of his people. And just say, can I pray to you one sentence? God, right now. They go, what is that? You know, I think he's in our prayers. We're inviting people to church. We're giving our testimony. Somebody comes to the locker room or comes into your coffee break room or whatever, and man, I'm having a bad time in my marriage. Man, I don't know what to do. You know what? That was me 20 years ago. And we're so happy. What happened? Well, you know, I gave my life to God. Do you have time for coffee? We're supposed to be doing that in the field out there. Yes. Staff meeting yesterday, I corrected the guys. I said, guys, we do so much stuff in the church that really isn't biblical. For example, people say, man, let's get a bus ministry going to bus kids in. Where do you see that out in Scripture? It's not there anywhere. You minister to the whole family, not just the kids. I mean, we can bus kids from all over, and they'll run all over and create all kinds of chaos, and more than likely, they won't know Jesus. But we're going to go after the whole families. As a church corporate group, we're not called to say, okay, Saturday, we're going out and evangelize. No, we're not called. That's not in Scripture. Scripture says our job of the church is to make you healthy, and then you each singularly go out and reproduce. The Bible says in the Greek, as you go into the world, as you go to the supermarket, as you go to work, as you go to your PTA meetings, as you go to your kids' sport, as you go, then you evangelize. You don't see shepherds out in the sheep fields out here when you're going to Porterville. You don't see them with a sign up trying to show those sheep how to reproduce. Here's what you males do with a female here, you know. No, you just keep them healthy and they know what to do. If you get the people healthy, they'll go out their neighbors and their loved ones, and they'll do that. And so we do so many things. We go, well, that's why it's always been done, but it doesn't mean it's scriptural. And I'll say more about that later on. In men's discipleship, I'm gonna do some pretty heavy. I was going through a book, and everybody said, that is so boring, Pastor. Get away from that. So you read the book on your own. I'm gonna get down, and we're going to go back to what we did the first time. We're going to start showing you how to live with God. But just read the book on your own if you go to men's discipleship. It's evidence that demands a verdict if you want to buy one. So here's the question. Are you taking Jesus in the world as you go every day? Are you taking him? Or are you taking your own belly aching problems and griping about like everybody else? Or are you taking care of that at the altar and then taking Jesus into the world? Are you doing that? And then secondly, are you helping the church grow? And that's nothing big. I mean, I don't want to put you under bondage. You could simply give tithes every week and offerings, and that's you're doing your part. Or you can say, I pray for the church every single day. That's your call. Then praise God, then you're helping. Or you could do ushering, or you could do greeting. There's so many things you can do. I don't want to put you under bondage. Look at verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Another is building on it. But it says, each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Look at that last verse right there. Are all religions right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I hate to sound that way, but I can only tell you what the Bible says. Unless a man's born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it. I mean, I'm not saying people from other religions can't all be saved. They can. They can get born again in all kinds of ways. But their teachings aren't right. Clay idea, you know that. I'll talk to you later on that. I'm really thinking about doing that at the end of the service this Sunday, because I want to take this idea and I want to do it really right this time, and I want to visualize it and I want to make you understand, and then I want to take this to every pastor in the United States, because I think churches are confused about what being born again is. And their altar calls, the whole thing. Anyway, we'll discuss that at some other time. I know it sounds harsh to your ears, but it's just a fact. Flesh and blood can't connect to God. See, he's ordered us to be born again. You can't connect with God till you become part of his family. And you have to receive the Holy Spirit to be born again. I know this sounds hard, but it is what it is. And I'm not speaking against other religions as much as I'm speaking about what they teach. I mean, I had a Mormon guy that came to our church forever, and he was really into the Holy Spirit, and he was being discipled by me. Even though he's still called Mormon, I think the guy was born again. I really do. Catholics aren't going to. I had a guy who wants to argue from Vegas today, saying, I heard you on the radio and you said that the Seventh-day Adventists aren't a cult and they aren't going to hell. No, I didn't say that because I don't believe that. They teach different than us, but I know a lot of those people and they really love Jesus. And where do we get off changing the qualifications for being saved? Romans says that if you confess him as Lord and believe that Jesus raised him from the dead, you're saved. You might have wrong teachings really going to mess your life up, but that doesn't mean I don't know who's saved and who isn't. But I know you have to be born again. I mean, that's what the Bible says. See, once you become part of the family, you become a VIP and you can talk to God. He talks to you. If you haven't been born again, God's never heard your voice ever. You've been cut off from him the whole time. Again, I can say this. Again, my name is Viette, Ronaldo, Luigi, Pasquale, Romano, Viette. My grandparents are pillars of the Catholic Church. They were pillars. They named streets after my grandparents, everything. They were Catholics. They're part of the faith. But I don't think the Catholic Church on the whole teaches the right stuff. I'm not saying some of them aren't saved. I had my grandma, I did last rites for her. And I have some cousins that are Catholic, and they really love Jesus. I mean, we're so narrow-minded. I'm just saying if you're not born again, you're not hooked up. You can be in a meeting with me or a counseling appointment. And if one of my kids calls or my wife, I'm going to say, excuse me, I got to take this. When you're a family member of God, that's exactly what it's like. Hey, Gabriel, I don't know what we're into, but my kid's calling right here. Ron's calling. You have to be born again to get connected. I'll say more about that possibly even Sunday. I'm thinking about where I'm going Sunday. I don't think I'm going the second coming. A lot of ladies started praying against me that I wouldn't do it this Sunday, and I don't think I am. But you never know with me. It depends on what side of the spiritual bed I wake up on Sunday morning. Well, what I'm saying to you so far, and some of you haven't thought about this, you need to evangelize your loved ones of other religions sometimes. You say, well, how do I know if they're saved? If they don't have the fruit of the Spirit, they're not saved. If they never want to read the Bible, never want to pray, then obviously they're not saved. Jesus made it very plain. He said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. He says, this isn't rocket science. Now, if they're a different religion, they love Jesus, and they're, you know, like one time I heard a guy tried to evangelize a guy, another religion, and he's telling all about Jesus and everything, and the guy started crying from another religion and said, that's the Jesus I know and serve. If the angels can't figure, at the end of time, it says angels can't even tell who's saved and who isn't. If they can't figure it out, why in the daylights do you think you can? I just know you have to be born again. That's all I know. See, I'm not real smart. I just read the Bible, and it says you got to be born again. And if that's what Jesus said, then I believe it. You got to get hooked up with God. Now, I'm not suggesting you go to your friends of another religion and you go, you're wrong. Don't argue with them. Just show them the light. You say, how do you do that? Well, maybe like, you know, the Holy Spirit really has beckoned me to pray for you. I know you're going through a tough trial, and the Holy Spirit told me to pray for you. And they're going, the who? The Holy Spirit. He won't let you get off my mind. And then maybe the next month goes by and you say, hey, the Holy Spirit gave me a word for you. And Holy Spirit? I went by the burger place today. I don't know how much you like burgers, and I don't know if you've eaten yet, but I think the Holy Spirit nudged me to buy you 2 In-N-Out burgers and a fry and a chocolate shake. They say, the Holy Spirit? And then as you're praying for them, they'll get curious, say, can you tell me more about the Holy Spirit? So you're not going against their religion, say, you know, you're this, that. You just tell them about the Holy Spirit, about what it is to be born again. Because he's what salvation is about. Next, it says, be careful how you build on your foundation. The foundation is Jesus, but be careful how you build on it. See, I can't believe that some people choose a church like they're choosing a grocery store. Well, I go to that church there because it's close to my house. Really? That's insane. You don't choose a church like you choose a grocery store. I mean, we're going to learn here in a second. It depends on what your foundation is built out of. If it's built shabby, you're not going to withstand the storms of life. And the speakers, the people God's flown there, the ones going to help you build on your foundation. You know that. You think a house built out of cement is going to stand the storm that a house out of cardboard is going to stand? No way. And I want to tell you something. The devil is out to destroy you. The first move you make toward Christ, he's out to destroy you, my friend. And if you don't have a strong building on that foundation, you will be destroyed easily. Okay, I'm almost through. Give me 5 more minutes. Verse 12 through 15. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it's to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he'll receive a reward. There it is again. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. There's 3 things I want you to see here, and in fact, I'll end with these 3 things. Number one is, which group of these 2 things is harder to work with? Is it harder to work with hay, wood, straw, or gold, silver, and precious stones? Well, I mean, it's easy to work with wood, hay, straw. I mean, it doesn't require any effort. It's light, and you can put it together with super glue. You don't have to drill holes. It's easier to work with the wood, hay, and straw. See, people want to grow in Christ, but they don't want to put out any effort. They don't want to, you know, say, man, pastor said this week, we're going to do some hospitality, man. Invite the Petersons and the Gomez. Invite them over tonight. And dear, stop by and get some weenies and some buns and some hot dog stuff. And we're just going to pray an hour before they come and just kind of let God move. It takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it? But that's what you do if you want to grow. Invite someone that hates you to lunch at work. And I mean, plant some seeds. And that's kind of hard to do. Pastor Ron, you know what? I don't want to give my time, my energy. I don't give money to the church. I don't give time to the church. I don't give anything. Yeah, that's real easy to do. Huh? It's kind of hard to give your money, your time, and your energy. That requires something of you. To study the Bible every day, to learn of it, and be in a Bible study group or have some good tools there by you where you can learn what it's saying so you can share it with other people, that takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it? If you want to grow in Christ, I want the miracle stories you have. I want the God stories you have, but they don't want to put out any effort. They just want to stick with the wood, hay, and the straw. Second thing I want you to see here, hay, wood, and straw is really easy to destroy. It's easy to destroy a house. It's not hard to break into a house made out of straw. If I want to get your color TV and steal from you, if you have a house made out of hay, I'm going to get in pretty easy. I'll just move the bales of hay. But not so with these precious stones. Now, the devil's going to have a hard time getting to a mature Christian. Hard time. Pastor, you know what? I want to talk to you. Pastor, I hope you're ready for this. I hope you're not shocked. My husband left me. Oh, really? Are you shocked? Absolutely not. And you're surprised he left you? Really? Remember that Saturday Night Live? Really? You're surprised. He was building with wood, hay, and straw. It doesn't surprise me. He was an easy, easy target for the devil. Really easy. All my kids, they're all on drugs. All of them? And you're surprised? Really? All of them? You must be doing something wrong. One, you can always have one stray one or something, but I mean all of them, you know. Last thing I want you to see here is number three. Someday we'll stand before God and we'll give an account on how we built our building. God will say, give me a report. How did you use all your money while you're on earth? Did you use any for my kingdom? All I asked for was 10%. I didn't even ask for your 90. I could have, but I didn't. How did you use your time? How did you use your time? How did you use your home for my glory? Can you give me a report on that? How'd you do that? I had 120 junior hires in my pool, I think, one day. Crazy. When I bought this home, my wife said, you promise me you'll use this for God's glory? I said, oh, yeah, we'll use it for God's glory. See, you're going to take inventory. I'm warning you now. I mean, you're still going to go to heaven if you love Jesus. You're going to go, but rewards will be based on that stuff. Because the Lord says, you don't get it, do you? He's going to say what he's saying. I have a lot more for you to do. You got planets out there. He's got a thing. And he goes, if you were lazy there, you're obviously still the person that you were there. Your person hasn't changed. You'll be lazy here too. So I can't give those rewards. That's the way it's going to work out. Oh, you'll be happy. You used to be in heaven. We're going to be happy. And it'll be lots like it. You'll be driving, you'll see a limousine go by and say, who's that? Oh, that's Pastor Hector with all of his workers. Pastor Hector was faithful on earth, and he's going to Mars today to take care of some business for God. I think a majority of people in heaven is going to be citizens. There's going to be some people that a lot of people have really high jobs because of they were faithful on earth. So does this make any sense to you? Okay, I got 5 minutes. If you've written anything in or if you haven't, we'll just go home. I planted my seeds. I'm going to sleep well tonight. You going to sleep well? Yeah, I hope you. I think you'll sleep well. I don't think most of you are in that place. But if there is any, you can flash them up. If there isn't, we just go home. And it looks like there might not be any. That's all right. I want to go home right now. I want to see who won the World Series. I think that, oh, thanks, Tom. Thank you.
They were coming up right here.
Okay, they were coming up. Okay. Pastor, please pray for rain, California fires. You know, that's not a bad idea, is it? I didn't even think of that. You want to pray right now? Father God, help us with the fires. Help us with the fires, Lord. I don't know if it's too late to pray for rain. I know it took Elijah a lot of times, but help us with the fires. Help us. I'm struggling with tithing, Pastor. I want to tithe and I want to give with a cheerful heart, but I don't because I'm fearful of not having enough to get by. This means I don't trust God, right? Right. That was answered pretty easily, huh? Honestly, guys, you're talking to a guy, I've tithed before I was even saved, and I still do. I have found out that is probably one of the best ways to find out how real God is. It's just tithe and say, hey, you said. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're living above your means or if you're living foolishly, you might not still have some trials. But if you've got everything else dotted, you're not living above your means and da-da-da-da-da, and you're not being lazy in the job and getting fired from every job because you're lazy, but if all that's intact and you tithe, you're going to get back. That's just the way it is. And the Bible states we need to obey and honor our parents. However, do you approach them when they're consistently being hateful? You know what? I think we need to play this game over. I was hoping the comments would be on the text. What I really want to see, and we can do this again, I'd really like to see you come in and say, here's what I learned tonight. Here's what I picked up tonight. I don't know. It's going to take a long time to answer all these. I'm sorry. There are times I feel like giving up, but I always ask God for wisdom and strength. Or lately I've been drained, feeling the weight on my shoulders. Could you pray for me? Sure. Come up afterwards. We'll pray for you. Should I throw away my marriage even if he cheated on me after 30 years? Can I tell you something? Cheating is not a reason for divorce. Can I say that again? Cheating is not a reason for divorce if it's a one-time thing. The reason for divorce is if he cheated and he's not sorry about it and he does it again. If someone's cheated on you and they come and say, man, I'm so sorry. Man, I asked God for forgiveness. I'm back in the church. Then you really don't have a right to divorce them. You need to forgive them unless you want God to treat you that way. You understand what I'm saying? But now if they cheat and they still keep that cheating heart and you think they're doing it again, then there's a time you just got to cut it off and say, hey, I think that's scriptural. Did you understand what I'm saying? If someone's cheated on you and they go, man, I am, and you see if they're sorry, and man, they're a Christian, and they get back in the church and stuff, you got to forgive them, man. You have to. But if they continually do it, then they have a spirit of whoredom according to the Gospels, and you need to probably dissolve that marriage if it's a spirit of whoredom. And you get some counsel on that. Your sermon has the encouragement to plant a seed of the Holy Spirit over my wife's health issues, and I thank you for this. God bless you. Hey, thank you. That's what I want. That's the kind of thing I want. Oh, my husband and I have been talking a lot recently about if we should have a third and last baby. During worship, I prayed for God to show me this, if he was calling us to do this. Pastor Ron, you turned and looked right at me as I was sitting in the third row and you said, God, another baby. Well, praise God. I had a couple right down here one time. I did the same thing and they had a baby. They got pregnant that 2 days. And then what they named their baby? Trustin. Trusting in Jesus. Oh, we're out of time anyway. You know what? See, I'm looking. I think there's a place in our church where we need to come back and have these verse by verse every single week. We need to work through books like this. I think there is a place, and we're working on it. We're praying about how that should come about. And I know Jim's really good. I don't want to ever move him. But I do think there's a place and time that we need to take 4 months and go through a book in the Bible, verse by verse, all the way through. Would you be happy with that if we designated a night? Okay, well, that applause really didn't turn me on or do much for me. But anyway, let's pray this. Father God, I thank you that your word is full of good stuff. And tonight, I hope that we all receive something. And Lord, you're running this church. Anytime you want me to be here, I'll be here. Anytime you want Jim to be here, he'll be here. Anytime you want Shane or Josh to be here, they'll be here. And Lord, I pray tonight, and I don't know why I'm saying this, that this church will see that we're a lot bigger than what you see here tonight. We had over 1,500 people around of our other campus. We had over 3,000 people probably in other campuses on Sunday. Our other campuses had almost 3,000 people. We're bigger than what you see here. And then we got internet with hundreds and thousands there. We're a lot bigger than what you see in this building. So please pray for this place. We got a big responsibility, man. Pray for us, please. Pray that we don't get tired and that everything goes good for us. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again. Maybe you've tried religion. You've tried sleeping around, you've tried getting drunk, you've tried party hardy and down, and you say, Pastor, honestly, I haven't found it yet, and I had never tried Jesus. Born again, what does it mean? It means that you actually know of a time and place when you said, Holy Spirit, come live in my body, and you take over and make me one of your kids. If you haven't done that, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to do it at altar call, you can do it in your bathroom, but if you've never done that, it's a good chance to do it tonight. So if you're here and you're not right with God and say, Pastor, I really want to get right with God, would you just raise your hand up and say, I'm tired of messing around. I don't care who knows. I want to get right with God. I'm not right with God and I want to get right with Him. Anybody at all, raise your hand high if you're here. Yes, God bless you. Yes. Anybody else join these? Anybody else? Just raise your hand high if that's you tonight. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody join these 4 or 5? Say, I want to get right with God tonight. Would you people, you 5 or 6 or if more, would you do me a favor? Hector, where are you at? Pastor Hector, will you take him back there and talk to him? If you really want to get it right, go ahead, Pastor Hector. There was about six of you raised your hand. Just go with him back to this room. There's a flag back there, and he's going to talk to you, and he's going to pray over you, and you're going to leave here a different person. So if you just get out of your seat and go with him, that'd be great. That'd be great. God bless you for moving. Praise God. Yes, go back there. Hector's going to seal the job for you. And if you raise your hand, just tell your wife, say, hey, babe, I'll be back in a few minutes. I'm not going to put this off. I'm going to take care of business. I'll never regret the day I gave my life to God. Neither will my wife. I was a holy terror. Yeah, just go on back there. The rest of you, I hope your power doesn't get turned off. My PG&E went off today, and my wife called and complained it was back on in 5 minutes. Think about that. They told her, I heard the lady, your power's off, and it will not be back on tomorrow. I promise you it will not be back in 24 hours. Wife said, well, I want it on, and the World Series came. I said, Debbie, that was good. I don't know how you did that. Love you. Have a good day. We got to get out of here. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.